In your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 20. I'll read the Easter story from John 20, 1 through 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him." So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over, looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they've put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Early on that first day of the week, while it was still dark, when Mary went out the door that morning, what do you think she was expecting? Or what could she have been hoping for? From everything we have in Scripture and from our own experiences with life and with death, could there have been much margin for hope in this? When you think about all she really could have hoped for would maybe have been some time to grieve privately, like a lot of us have done in cemeteries, like one of our families will do tomorrow at Fort Snelling. And maybe Mary also went out to the cemetery to be convinced that that nightmare from Thursday and Friday, where things happened so quickly, where Jesus was arrested and then beaten and then charged and then crucified and dead, maybe she went out to find out, did this really happen? Or was it just a horrible nightmare? This one who was so full of life and so full of God, dead, sealed in a tomb? So she went out the door while it was still dark on that first day of the week. So let's pause here for just a moment, kind of like we pause a movie at home. Picture Mary en route, partway on that trail in the dark to the grave. And pause the other disciples too, just for a moment. His tight band of disciples back in their rented room, maybe still sleeping, maybe having a silent, grief-laden breakfast. Hiding in that room full of fear, wondering maybe, are we next? Are we on that hit list? Who knows? Judas was freshly buried following his Thursday night suicide. one of their friends. And Peter, more than anyone else, Peter was buried under a fresh load of shame after having said, "I never knew the man," about Jesus when he was being beaten right within sight and earshot. If we pause the story right here, it is a picture of sheer hopelessness. No way out, no way up. Everything's capsized. No light shining in on this. Jesus had been degraded, disgraced, and dead, and the disciples were devastated, demoralized, and at a dead end. A lot of D words, and they all fit. That's how we can picture this, hopelessness. A complete dead end, a brutal dead end to what had been so hope-filled just a few days before. And Mary was out the door heading to the cemetery. And as we heard, when she got to the cemetery, things were not as they should be. The tomb was open. What? What's going on here? If you or I go to a cemetery, to the grave of someone we love, to go grieve, to say goodbye, and if it's all dug up and empty, what are we going to think? Will our first thought be, "Oh, she's been raised from the dead"? No. It'll be more like, "What? What is going on? I've got to find out. I've got to get help," which is what Mary did. So she ran back and she got Peter and the other disciple. And putting two and two together as reasonably as they could, she said, "They've taken him and I don't know where they've put him." So they ran, the three of them, back to the cemetery, and Peter and the other one looked in the tomb and saw the grave clothes laying right where they had been. Not shoved in a corner, not taken, but laying right where Jesus had been laid. So then they ran back, and Mary stayed there crying. Hopelessness now compounded by confusion. She was so deep in that groove that when she looked in the tomb and saw two people dressed in white, being angels is obviously not what she thought about. Would we? So she said to them, "I don't know where they put him. What's going on?" And then all we can do is imagine, did she hear the scuffling of a shoe, a sandal on the gravel, or a sniff of a nose? But she turned around and she saw the gardener. And again she said, "If you've taken his body, I don't know where he is, but if you've taken him, I'll go and get him if you tell me where he is." And pause again. What was she going to do? Pick up his body and then take him where? To do what? It's a picture of desperate grief, not knowing what to do or what's going on. There's not even a hint of hope in this story so far, but then it all changes. Everything, and it changes with one word, Mary. The gardener simply said her name, Mary. Jesus said her name, Mary, and she knew it was him, alive after having been brutally executed, now fully alive there. And everything changed. And that has been the story for countless people ever since then. From that first day of the week to this first day of the week. It's the only reason why I am here today. It's the only reason why so many of you are here today. Because we've met Jesus. We know Jesus. Our lives have been changed by Jesus because we said yes to Jesus. When we encounter Jesus, the living, resurrected Christ, whether our name is spoken like it was for Mary or not, whether it is a spine-tingling encounter filled with awe or more of a sweet, gentle awareness that we are loved more than we know and we are forgiven, that there's more hope in life than we saw thus far. When this happens, lives change and powerful things happen. I'd like to just touch on a couple of them. Among these is forgiveness. Oh, to live into a life of forgiveness. This incredible gift carries huge life-changing implications. Forgiveness is knowing that the things we've said or done or the things we've avoided doing, the sins we carry, some deeply hidden, the damage done, and who doesn't have a record of that? To know that we are really, genuinely forgiven, not just by another person, but by God, that we are promised by God that the stain of our sins is washed off of our lives completely, that there has been, beyond what we can fully understand, there's been what's called a great exchange, where our dirty record, our sins, and Jesus' pure, spotless life, these records are swapped. And He takes ours upon Himself, and we are pronounced clean, forgiven. When this happens, powerful things happen in life. Everything changes. I love the fact that the word for forgiveness in the New Testament, the Greek word, literally means to release or to send away. That's the very thing that happens by faith through Jesus when we ask to be forgiven. We are released. It is untangled from our feet, from our lives, our sins. They are released and sent away. And we become free to live not in response to our sins or to our society, but to our great forgiver. Here's some words that we'll hear this morning as we come to the Lord's table. Come to this sacred table not because you must, but because you may. Not because you have any claim on the grace of God, but because in your frailty and sin you stand in constant need of His mercy and help, His forgiveness. This is one of the powerful things that happens when our lives are encountered by the resurrected Christ. Secondly, trust. To live day by day in this complicated world that is so filled with hard news and that is so difficult to navigate. To live with trust that we are not on our own here. That there's a larger story than what we hear on the news. That God really is at work in the details of our lives and that Jesus really did send the Holy Spirit to come alongside of us and to be with us as He promised. This changes everything. Trust us. I'm sure we all know people who've been burned so many times or have been painfully disappointed so many times that they just don't trust anyone or anything anymore. Maybe some of you are there. Or maybe you're toward that category. And that's understandable in many ways. If we take our cues from the world. But by God's grace, as we come to Jesus with all the stuff that we have, our doubts, our hurts, our angers, our frustrations with people and with life, and give it over to Him as an act of faith, genuinely inviting Him into all of that, He proves Himself trustworthy again and again. There's a beautiful song by Sarah Groves called "He's Always Been Faithful to Me." And here are a few of the words. I can't remember a trial or pain He did not recycle to bring me gain. I can't remember one single regret in serving God only and trusting His hand. All I have need of, His hand will provide. He's always been faithful to me. Trust. Trust changes everything. This kind of trust in Jesus. And then last, hope, which is tightly tied to forgiveness and trust, like a sprout of new growth coming up out of the soil of forgiveness and trust, all watered by God's grace. To live with hope, what an amazing gift that is, to live with hope. What a beautiful way to live. Hopeful people celebrate life. Hopeful people are a gift to be around. The Apostle Paul wrote about hope, and Paul, you might remember, was a chief persecutor of Christians. And then he met the living, resurrected Christ, and his life was completely turned around. He went from persecutor to preacher. Listen carefully to what he wrote in one of his letters, his letter to the Ephesians. Paul writes, "I pray that the eyes of your hearts may be enlightened, that the eyes of your hearts may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe." Then Paul blends all this with the resurrection. That power for us who believe, that power is the same power God exerted when he raised Christ Jesus from the dead. It's resurrection power, open to all of us, at work within all of us who believe. That same power that took the mutilated, crucified, dead body of Jesus Christ and raised him back to life, that is at work in us by grace through faith. So what new things, what still to happen things might he do in your life? The power of his resurrection can change everything. When Mary went out the door that morning, first day of the week, she couldn't have imagined what was coming. So how about for you? Could this be your first day of a new week? First day of new life in him. Are you open for the new things he can do? Freedom through forgiveness, the wonder of trust, and the beauty of hope? As we prepare to come to the table, to receive these sacred gifts of the bread and the cup, or for you who choose not to come to the table today, I'd like us to pray together for him to exert that same resurrection power in us through forgiveness, trust, and the wonder of hope. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you know our hearts, our minds, our histories, our present. You know the things we hold and all that we need to release to you. Do something new in us on this first day of the week, this Sunday morning. Don't leave any of us unchanged, unmoved, or unyielding to you. Instead, fill us with good news, with your good news and your great power. We pray all of this in your holy name. Amen.